Morning, Tim.
Good morning once again, Tom.
That was an unexpected hello from you. Once again, you added in.
Another Wednesday morning.
Okay, well, I was hoping that you weren't trying to imply something there, that, you know, you're finding it monotonous talking to me. Goodness.
No, far from it. Because I'm sure, once again, you'll have something very interesting to kick us off with, won't you?
I suppose to finish the continuation, well, to continue from last week, I have now finished. I finished the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Brilliant.
I sat through the 3.25 hours of Return of the King on Monday afternoon, and despite the fact the weather was beautiful outside, I was extremely glad I was in a slightly colder than I'd have liked air-conditioned cinema. but wow, I mean, what a film. I'm in shock that I haven't seen these films before. And yeah, I mean, it's the perfect trilogy. And every part of the story gets tied up. And yeah, I am just blown away by it. I really am.
It all ended well.
For most of the characters, yes. Yeah.
It's interesting because last night we also finished the Bible course, didn't we?
Mm, yes.
And it was the ending of the Bible story with the book of Revelation as well, where most things get tied up.
And with our NBC kids, we did Revelation on Sunday, yeah. Where we tied up most of it, but we left it open at the ending to say that the story is still being continued today. Even though what we read in the Bible kind of has a point where it sort of stops, it is our story too. And we can put ourselves in it. And we are in this sort of post-revelation, in terms of when the book was written, not in terms of what will come, period of time when we are the ones writing the story. We're the ones continuing to light the flame that was lit many years ago by the first Christians, and we are part of that continuing story. And I just think it's wonderful. It's been great to go on a journey both with the kids, but also with the not quite so young ones on the Bible course. And we've just been able to finish the story, but also know that there's more to come. And you know what? I know it's not quite the same, but with Lord of the Rings, I know that I've now got to go back and watch The Hobbit and Battle of Five Armies, Desolation of Smaug, and whatever Unexpected Journey. I know that that's what I'm going to have to do next, and that's fine. And of course, then there's the series coming out, which is set before all of the Lord of the Rings films and Hobbit and everything, which will be very exciting when that comes out. I think it's next year. Yeah, I mean, still lots of story to be done.
Yeah, and the books are worth reading. If you're a book reader, I would definitely recommend reading the trilogy. And obviously a lot more detail in some respects, but I think it is a great read as well. So, yeah, do dig in. And maybe this summer is a good time to read a book that you've been longing to read for a long time, and maybe get it out. And have a good read. Libraries are back open now, which is great news. So visit your local library and see what they've got on the shelf and grab something that will help you part of that adventure. You know, the thing I love about the end of Revelation is the invitation, you know, to come. I love the fact that this is all about invitation, you know, just come and enjoy, you know, the fullness of that relationship with Jesus. And he just wants us to be there. So, yeah. Do dig in to some of those great stories that are there. But of course, stories don't all... We don't know the end of every story, do we?
No.
And one of the things that's happening... Oh, one of the things, difficult to say one of the things, is this is a great summer of sport, isn't it, Tom?
Ah, yes, it is.
And 100 people have switched off already. As at the mention of the word sport, many people have switched off. But hang in there, please.
You can't switch off from it this summer. That's the whole point. You know, the beginning of June is seen as sort of the first part of summer, isn't it? And this is well and truly a summer of sport. All of last year's sport is being added into what would normally happen in any year of everything. Oh, it's just, if you're a lover of sport, then you can't help but be excited by what is going to be coming. And of course, it all kicks off on Friday this week with the European Championship. And then England, Wales and Scotland are all playing in it, which is incredible. Fair play to some of those countries for getting there. Well done. But if football's not your thing, then if you're a fan of cycling, Tour de France starts in a couple of weeks. Wimbledon is back end of June, I think it starts. And of course, last year it didn't quite happen. And so this year we are able to sort of see forehands being played down the line and backhand winners and volleys and all sorts. And inevitably, I've been playing tennis through lockdown. I am sure that I won't be able to get a court because everyone is going to go for their once annual trip to a tennis court after seeing Andy Murray get knocked out in the third round of Wimbledon.
Is he playing?
Well, if he is, he's getting knocked out in the third round. It's prophetic, Tim. No, it's not. Then we've got cricket. There's international cricket. There's club cricket. There's the 100, which if you're a lover of cricket, you'll hate. But if you're a lover of sport, you'll love. Formula One's continuing to go through the summer. And if you haven't been following that, it's hotting up to be an incredible championship. There's no one person who's in the lead for once, which is bad if you're a fan of Lewis Hamilton, but good if you're a fan of racing and everything. Golf's back with the Open and Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup. I think they're all happening. They all sound like their names of golfing events.
And Olympics. Games
might be happening, might not. We have to hope they are. That's going to be in 6 weeks' time onwards for a few weeks. And then, of course, the Paralympic Games as well, which are always a wonderful thing to just see how incredible humanity is and can be when you see some of the performances are put in there. I'm a big fan of rugby. Rugby has been happening all the way through. It's been great. But the pinnacle of rugby, the Lions Tour, is happening. That's going to be in South Africa, unfortunately, just after my sister comes back from South Africa, God willing. So she won't be able to go to a game. Not that I think they're having fans anyway. But there's rugby coming up. And if you love sport as much as I do, your mouth can't help but water at the prospect of what is coming. And I guess we're going to touch on Joshua Reid in a little bit, but I think before that, I just want to share with you some thoughts that Christian in Sport have put out there of how we can make the most of this incredible summer. Their suggestion this year is that we need to have one thought, that we need to take one action, but we also need to take note of one warning throughout this summer. The thought is a very positive one. James chapter 1 verse 17 says this: "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." The gift of sport has often been long debated, considered and challenged. But I think this summer we need to acknowledge that the ability to play sport, to compete in sport and to enjoy sport are all gifts that come from God. God's the generous giver. He gives us so much. He gives the hand-eye coordination for the very best at Wimbledon to play those sweeping forehands and backhand volleys and all sorts. It's God who's the generous giver who gives the spatial awareness for the midfield maestros who will be on display at Euro 2020. It's God who makes the girl fast, gives the swimmer strength and enables the para-athlete to perform incredible feats. As we engage and marvel with the best sporting spectacles that the world has to offer, it's right for us to give thanks to God, who gives us gifts for us all to enjoy. Whether it be the sublime skill, the underdog taking the victory, the world record that will get smashed this summer, we must remember that it is God who gives all good gifts. And that one thought should lead us to taking one action. Sport gives us a great context for mission. Now, if you've played sports for a club or a team, you'll know how natural relationships are formed with others that you definitely would never have crossed paths with. You enjoy a common bond, a goal that is only achieved if you work together. In a football team, it's impossible to play without a goalie. In a swimming team, you need four people for a relay. If one's not there, it's not happening. You form great friendships with people when you are part of a team. You share significant time with them, and often when you're playing all together for a period of time, you share your life with your sports friends. Now, there is an obvious challenge of how we get back to what we did before in this season of restriction easing, But due to friendships that were established previously and will likely be able to be reformed very quickly, hopefully that won't be too hard. Paul talks to the Christians in Thessalonica, and he reminds them of how he lived among them as he sought to set up a church there on one of his missionary journeys. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8 says, "Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." What a model that is for us, and what a challenge this should be for us with our friends. Now, there's going to be so many opportunities this summer to let the context of sporting spectacles bring us and our friends together. As a church, we're looking at what we can do to help this, whether it's going to be taking a team away for a football weekend later in July, or perhaps organising a picnic and playing sport in the park as restrictions are lifted further. Maybe it's just going to be about us giving space for our young people to continue to play sport on the car park, as we are loving doing at the moment. But if you feel your sport playing days are over, then perhaps this summer is time to gather a few people together over food and viewing one of the great games. As a church, we're looking at whether it's going to be possible for us to perhaps show the matches from later on in the European football tournament at church. And during those, we'd love to show a gospel film, as we've done when we've hosted events in the past, often about how Christians are impacting sport around the world. But if we can't do that, then maybe it's time for you to invite your friends around to watch a big game and share your testimony when they're gathered. Perhaps it might be a great opportunity to share how you engaged with sport in the past and how God brought you to that moment. There are so many opportunities for us to share God's goodness this summer, and sport is a great way in for us taking those first steps. Now, I did say at the start that whilst there is one thought, one action, we must also heed one warning. And it is a fairly simple one. With all the sport that's going to be taking place this summer, it's going to be very possible that it's going to consume all of our time. And we need to work really hard to make sure that sport doesn't become our biggest time waster this summer. There is always a flip side to celebrating the wonderful gift that sport is, by ignoring the giver and celebrating the gift. We may not intentionally make sport our idol this year. We may not bow down at the shrine, but by the hours of viewing and the priority place that it is given in our lives, it can often really indicate what matters in our lives and therefore what we are truly worshipping. This is going to become something that we're going to see as the football tournament goes on. Games will end up clashing with church. Evening meetings are going to be falling in line with the last set of the tennis. And there's going to be occasions when we're going to have to make a choice. I think I'd like to encourage everyone to this summer enjoy God as you enjoy watching his gift of sport, but take heed of Paul's words to the church in Colossae. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things." Enjoy the summer of sport that's to come, but don't take your eyes off God, the giver of life. Let Jesus be the one who consumes your thoughts, and make these sporting spectacles that are coming up this summer be opportunities to glorify God and enjoy him and his presence wholeheartedly. Which one of those events, Tim, are you most looking forward to?
Oh dear, now there's a thought. Well, you know, because of my links with Finland now, Finland are making their debut at the Euros in the football. So, you know, I ought to keep an eye on them. And that's a massive achievement for Finland to be able to get to the final. So definitely a soft spot there, I think. Yeah, the tennis, I like watching the tennis as well, and the battle and the to-ing and fro-ing, and yeah, the skill of the best players is an absolute phenomenon to watch, isn't it? And it's hard to believe some of the shots that they take and the skill that they show. But I think also that there is that sort of general almost humility among the top players as well, isn't there? And particularly among Christian players, I think. And that's one thing that can come out of this is that, you know, there are players in all sports who are Christians and who are able to keep it in perspective. And as you've said in the text that you've used, you know, are aware of the dangers, but also take hold of the opportunities, and they perform as a reflection of their own love of God as well. And that, yeah, that's the challenge for all of us. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, Paul writes. And I think that that's one of those keys. So yeah, I'll definitely be dipping in and out a little bit with most of the sport. I've been a keen sport watcher over many years, so let's see what happens. But competition's a good thing, isn't it? And I always like to see when perhaps even the underdog does get a chance and overcomes Goliath just for one moment. That's always good, isn't it?
You missed out an opportunity then, Tim, to say Jericho.
Jericho, or Ai, or any other city that you want to mention that was in the path of the Joshua and the Israelites. But yeah, I think Joshua 8, I mean, just to segue into that, it is a great example of disobedience and obedience, you know, that the people had a go at Ai in Joshua 7 and they did it their way. And as much as Frank Sinatra says it's the right thing to do, the Bible definitely says, no, you got to do it God's way. And Joshua 8, they did it God's way and victory was theirs and they got the rewards from it. And I know the battle is hard to take sometimes because of the destruction of everything that was in their way. And we do find that a difficult concept to take on board. But the end result is that the people honoured God. And they won the victory that put him back in first place. And then, as James reminded us very helpfully on Sunday, that sense of the covenant place becomes a reality, that when we've been obedient to God, then there's a time for renewing the promises that we've made. And I would imagine that the Christians who are playing sport this year in those tournaments, you know, will start with a simple renewal of their commitment to God, and wanting to do what they do to bring God glory as well. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for those Christian sportsmen and women who will be performing this year at the highest of levels. And let's be glad that they're in those places of influence. And let's pray that they'll have their eyes fixed on Jesus every step of the way, and that they'll know his presence and his pleasure as well. Every forehand winner they play, or every goal they score, or every try, or every race they win, every medal they have, just to give God the glory for it all. Yeah, well, I haven't worked out my viewing schedule yet, but I better get my wall chart out, I think.
Yes, I'll be sort of plotting my way through the games as we speak, although I have already noticed one slight clash, Tim, that might be coming up and for you, but I'll let you find out what that clash will be as the tournaments go on. Anyway, yeah, we want to encourage you, if you didn't catch James's talk from Joshua 8 at the weekend, we've often spent these NBC Connect podcasts sort of talking about bits that weren't picked up, but I think this is very much one where I'd just say, if you haven't watched it, then head to our YouTube page and catch James's talk. It's a wonderfully interactive talk. He's got a great image that just really helps us to imagine ourselves being in the middle of the amphitheatre. And he offers some really great insights, but also some brutally honest moments as well. And James really opened up, I think, the weekend to us. And it can't have been the easiest talk to give, but a really powerful message on this act of commitment. And as we see how the Israelites give thanks and they rejoice in what God's done for them, they take that next step of saying, look, it's time for us to renew our commitment to God. And as you said, Tim, that's what sports people do. People often, you'll see as people go onto a football pitch often, they'll do a cross across them. Now, whatever you think about crossing yourself or whatever, you can't deny the fact that it's a very public declaration, that moment of, I give myself to you, God. Kaká very famously, upon the Champions League final, when he won it, I believe it was in 2006. I don't know who they beat that year. It must have been a very good team that came from Liverpool. He kind of famously had the slogan, I belong to Jesus. And these moments when these people kind of say, have a declaration, I sort of see them and I think, you're doing it in front of however many million people right now, and you're going to face some amount of consequence for this, whether it'll be social or even as it has been for a number of English footballers in the past, actually real opposition. If they have the guts to do it, then it's only right for us to do it in our own context. Just go for it this summer. Go for it. Even if sport's not your thing, go for it. Go for a walk. Share with people. Share your faith. Take the opportunity, because there may be occasions when you can't be sure when you'll have another one to do it. It might be that whatever circumstance there is for sport, of course, these competitions only come around every now and then. As a church, it's unlikely we're going to show the mid-table clash between Crystal Palace and Charlton or something. But actually, people will come together for watching England in the Euro 2020 final as Gareth Southgate brings football home. That's a great opportunity for us to take as Christians, for us to latch onto it and say, look, this is what our faith means. So just go for it. Go for it this summer.
Well done, Tom. Passion personified. Brilliant stuff. Well, whatever you're going to do this week or this summer, enjoy the good gifts that God has given us, because he's given us them to enjoy. So make the most of all the opportunities. And obviously this COVID time, we've become aware of what we've lost or what we've had to give up, but perhaps God is going to do something brand new as we enjoy what he's given us as well. So make the most of every opportunity as God gives that to us during this week. Brilliant. Well, I think we should pray, and then we'll see what God has to do. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you do give good things for us to enjoy. And I pray that we'll become more aware of all that you've given to us. For some of us, you know, that sporting summer is going to feel like it's never ending. But through it all, we want to acknowledge that you are the one who gives us and who enables us to find pleasure and joy in all things. So use us, I pray, whether it's watching sport, whether it's walking, whether it's phoning somebody, whatever it is, that you'll give us opportunity to witness to your love for us and to help others to encounter you. Father, we renew our promises to you today, the promises that we've made many times before, perhaps. But today we say, God, use us. We're available. And we want to show that we belong to you, that we're part of all that you have planned. So I pray blessing on all who are listening today, and that we might keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Have an amazing week. God bless you. And we'll see you on Sunday for our next part of the Joshua story. We've got a very, very exciting speaker. It's not me, it's not Tim, so therefore it's exciting. See you there, 10:30 on YouTube or in person. If you're joining us in person, please, please, please book a space. If you want to book with another household or with up to 5 other individuals, then please do that. We can fit more people in if we have people in bigger groups. So by all means, please do book your space, newcastlebaptist.org.uk/booking. And from there, you'll be able to sign up and register to come along on Sunday.
And it's been fantastic to see, just have that opportunity to chat to people at the car park afterwards, hasn't it? The weather has been fine every Sunday. And I think this Sunday particularly, it's looking extremely good. So it's a real bonus to be able to not only sit and worship together, but also to go outside and chat to each other and meet up. And it's been great to see folk coming. So please, yeah, do give it a go. If you haven't been yet on a Sunday, do come along. We'd love to see you, and be good to catch up with as many people as we can. So thanks, Tom, and have a great week.
No, thank you. Yes, God bless. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.